Glad you guys are here this morning. We are doing an awesome series within a series. And you're like, Sean, Easter's coming up. How long is this series? Because we've been in the Sermon on the Mount since the fall. It's only two Sundays. So it's this Sunday, and then it's next Sunday. So don't be alarmed. And Tom is back. He is going to be finishing up this series. And what we're calling it One Way or Another. One way or another. Two gates, two ways, two ends, and one choice that you have. And so that's what we're going to focus on this morning. If you can bring up the next slide. Yeah, this is important. This is part of the good news that I want to open it. Sombreros are coming back. So I know some of you guys were alarmed. Bring them back out. They're ready. I introduced this because I want you guys to have some good news at the start. And we're going to get to good news at the end. But there's going to be a portion as we begin here. And for the good start, that's tough. I mean, this is serious stuff that Jesus is getting to. He doesn't joke around with this sermon because he wants people to make the right choice. He wants people to know him. He wants people to get life. And that's why he wrote this sermon. That's why he gave this sermon, excuse me. And that's why you guys are here this morning, and he wants this for you guys just the same. So let's move on to the scripture. We're in Matthew 7, so if you'd please turn there. Matthew 7, verse 13. So Matthew 7:13, it says, Jesus says, he begins, he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Guys, this is very serious stuff. And I can almost, I'm studying John right now, and personally, and it's amazing how simple the message is and how repeated it is. It's like, come to me, Jesus is like, come to me and you have life. Come to me and you will get forgiveness and you'll get relationship with me. You won't earn it. You receive it when you trust in Christ as your Savior. And he keeps talking to these good people, these religious people, and they just won't hear him. So I really want, I would implore you guys, beg you guys for your sake and for God's sake to really hone in and listen to what Jesus has for you in this conclusion to this sermon. This Sermon on the Mount that we've been studying since the fall, it's a sermon for self-examination. It's not just a prescription for how to do good or how to be good. It is not, I would say again, not a prescription for how to do good or how to be good. He wants you to examine yourself. Really think about it versus just kind of skirt it and say, oh, maybe I can improve a little bit in my life. Or this is a list of rules for me to keep. That is not it. It's often thought that this is about good people and bad people. I want you to look at verse 13. He says, enter through the narrow gate. All right, stop there. Enter through the narrow gate. Okay, the narrow gate is confining. I don't want to enter through the narrow gate. Some of you guys came in here and you picked a different spot because you would have to sit too close to somebody else. Am I right? You're like, oh, let's pick a spot where I get a little more room. So Jesus is like, okay, well, people aren't going to want the narrow gate. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about the wide gate and the broad way. And so what he says is he starts in and he's like, okay, I know you don't want the narrow gate because that sounds kind of difficult and constricting and confining and hard and difficult. He's like, so let me tell you about the wide way. Look what it says. It says, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many, many who enter through it. This wide gate is attractive. It's accessible. It's the gate that, like, you see it and you want to go through it. And that's why many people go through that. I compare it to I-36, I-25, 70, where they all kind of meet as you head into Denver. And it's like 6 lanes wide. Anybody ever been on that? And you're like, I don't even need to look at anybody around me. I'm not looking in over my shoulder in my blind spot because I have at least like 3 lanes in between me and anybody else in the world. And you like, that feels comfortable. It feels comfortable. People like that. And they're on that way. They're on that way to Denver because they want to get life. It's much more narrow and confining, maybe a trailhead, the beginning of a path. You would probably even miss it if maybe you didn't know that it was there. And I would contend with you, by way of comparison, that the mountains will give you a lot more life. You'll maybe experience the creation, which testifies to the Creator, and there's more life in the mountains at the end of the path, which starts at the narrow gate, the small gate of the trailhead, versus that big highway that leads into Denver. The broad way feels easy. The broad way feels good. The broad way feels comfortable. What the broad way is we look at this and what we think is, okay, the broad way is license. The broad way is people who live for themselves and don't care about what other people think. They live for themselves. They do what they want, when they want, how they want. And the narrow way is the people who are trying to be good. The people who actually have a conscience. The people who actually care. That's the exact wrong, inaccurate interpretation of these verses. Do not walk away with that. It is not good versus bad people. Look at the Sermon on the Mount. The conclusion is not different from the content. Jesus is very good at giving sermons. His conclusion matches his content. And what's his content, you ask? Look at when we cover this in chapter 5 and chapter 6. It's good people and good people. People who pray and people who pray. People who give to the poor and people who give to the poor. They don't do different things. They don't look different. They do the same things for different reasons. Have you seen that in the Sermon on the Mount? It's good people and good people. Remember about the people that give to the poor? Some give to the poor so no one notices. Some give to the poor so it's like sounding a trumpet. And so they get their name on a building. And instead of putting an offering just in the plate here that passes by and nobody even notices and looks, you take your, it's like someone taking a big check and calling the pastor and saying, hey, let's sit down. I really want to give you a big check. And they get a big handshake and they maybe get a meal out of it. And they get partial treatment because now the pastor knows that they like to give to the church. And it's like, who's that for? What is the reason that person is giving? Or people who pray. There's some who pray on the street corner so they'll be noticed by men. And there's some who go to a secret closet or a secret room and they pray there just for God. There's some who fast. And some fast so that they can have a deeper yearning for God. And some people fast so people see their gaunt face and like so people ask them, hey, are you getting anything? No, I'm not getting anything. I'm fasting today. I'm awesome. Like, that's the reason why these people are doing these good things. There's good and there's good. He says the broad and the easy way are those people who are doing good and being good for themselves. So if we could pull up the slide. Next slide. So you have one choice. Two gates, two different paths, two different ends. You have the wide accessible gate and the easy way, which leads to destruction. Which makes you really want to know about the small gate and the narrow way, does it not? I mean, does it not beg that question? He starts off and he's like, okay, people aren't going to like this narrow way, so let me talk about the broad way, the easy way. It leads to destruction. Okay, I don't like that. Let's get back to the narrow way. Next point. The one choice is about what really matters. And what really matters is not how you look. It's not the externals. And you're like, Sean, my culture, ever since I was born, has told me that it's all about how I look. Okay, so who knows the culture or our creator? Who's wiser? One choice about what really matters to get life. And you guys want life. Every day you wake up and you want life. Not breathing. Not just breathing, not just air, not just a heartbeat, but you want life. You want to be satisfied. You want fullness of joy. That's what we're going to get to at the end here, so stick with me. So one choice about what really matters to get life. If you could bring up the next slide. So two gates, two ways, two ends, one choice. So getting back to this wide and attractive way that you go into, it's one that a lot of people point to, a lot of people at church will point you to. False prophets in verse 15, they point you to this way, and people eat it up, people like it. The wide gate, accessible. The broad and easy way, what it is doing good and being good to get relationship with God. It's doing good and being good to get something. It's you doing good and being good to get approval. You doing good and being good to be loved. You doing good and being good so that you have power and control, so God owes you. And what you've done is you've made your horizontal, you've made your vertical relationship with God exactly like your horizontal relationships. In our horizontal relationships, is it not true that you and I, we love somebody else so they'll love us back? And if we don't love somebody else, odds are very good that they won't love us back. And so we transfer that to God and we're like, okay, God, if I love you, you will love me back. If I do good for you, you'll do good back. And you want this life, this end that you want. You want a good life. You want a great spouse, a husband or a wife. You want a great home, a great city to live in, great vacations, great kids. You want life. And you think by taking the easy, wide way, by doing for God, you can earn that. You can put God in your debt, and he will owe you. And then when life doesn't go that way, oh, that's a rough time. Then you get violent. You're like, God, listen, I've done this for you. Why haven't you given me this? Look at verse 13. This broad and easy way, it does not lead to life. It leads to destruction. And the destruction is there in verse 23. The destruction is, I never knew you, depart from me. Jesus, over and over again in John, he's talking to religious people who know the scriptures. He's talking to religious people who are better than anybody else. And he keeps trying to tell them, come to me and you get life. Trust in me as your savior and you will get life. And they don't hear it. Do you want to know why they don't hear it? It's because we like trying to earn relationship with God. We like trying to earn God's favor, trying to earn God's love. We love it. We love sweating for it. We love, you know, serving at Women to Women so we can earn relationship with God. And we love serving at Equip and serving in student ministries and Kids Quest, the children's ministry. And we love having a Bible study and doing something for our neighbors. We love doing these things. And you're like, Sean, no, that is hard. That takes sweat. That takes toil. It's not hard for you because you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to get something. You're doing it to earn something. That's not hard. That's what the whole world is doing. The whole world is doing things so that they can get something. They have a certain job, they hang out with certain people so they can feel a certain way, so they can be loved, so they can have approval, so they can have comfort and pleasure, power and control. So you look good, but it's the exact same as the world. The world has no trouble running after those things or living life that way. I'd also say that as you think about that, that's the standard, that kind of easy way. It also comes, it's also easy because you do just enough to get approval with God. Just enough. So you're going to come to church. You guys are here today. You'll come for 2 hours. Maybe you'll have a Bible study later in the week, or you'll be nice to your neighbor. Maybe you'll give a little bit. You do just enough for you to feel approval, that you are okay with you and that God is okay with you. And you look good. So people give you approval. They're like, oh, I think that person really follows God. Like, they're at church on time, every time. They help out in that ministry. But that's much easier than actually getting a relationship with God through Christ, actually following God, because then that's all out. That's all out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. What? Sean, how am I supposed to get life? I have God. I have the religious things that I do. And religion, I mean that in a negative light. When I say religious, I don't mean being spiritual. When I say religious, I mean doing things to get from God, earning from God, doing to get from God. That's not Christianity. That's not what Christ is saying here. My question to you is, why do you do your good deeds? If we're going to examine ourselves, because Christ loves you and wants you to examine yourself this morning, why do you do your good deeds? That's what he wants to know. You cannot earn his love. You cannot earn a relationship with him, now or in the future. You cannot put God in your debt. It's kind of this idea of syncretism. And that's a big word. It's taking two contradictory things, two opposite things. So rooting for one team and their exact rival. Or in this case, living for God and living for the world. And they take two contradictory things and they make them as one. That's what Jesus is speaking to. He is speaking to the audience and he's like, what you've done is, you have your following of God and you have your living in the world and for the world, and you've made them one. Because your whole goal is for you to get pleasure and comfort and to be loved. To earn that. That's your goal. And so what you do is you include God and you use God for that end, which is the same end that everybody else lives for. The reason why you and I don't experience the kind of hardship. I mean, you look at the Bible, hardship, persecution. You look in church history, hardship, persecution. You look around today, no hardship, no persecution. Because you're running after God, and you're really running after God for yourself, for approval and to be loved, all these different motives. And guess what? The world is running right alongside you. They just don't run through that turnstile of being for God to get to the same end that you are going after. You're both going the same direction. It's not a hard way. This broad way is not hard. And that's why Jesus makes sure you understand where this ends. It ends in destruction. It does not end in life. Commercials aren't right. Movies aren't right. Magazines aren't right. It does not end in life. It does not. Take God's word for it. It does not end in life. So look at verse 14. Let's look at verse 14 and let's pay close attention. We don't want destruction. The easy way is not going to get us life. Let's look at the way to life. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The gate is small and the way is narrow. The gate is so small that people miss it. I think some people don't even know that it is there. They don't even know that the gate is there. If we could get the next slide, if we could get those verses in John. I want you guys to look at what Jesus says. He is the gate. He is the gate to the narrow way which leads to life. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, I am the door. Jesus is like, I am the door. I am the gate. And through that, you get relationship with God. You don't earn it. Look in verse 3, look in verse 14. Does it say there are few who earn it? No, it says there are few who find it. And that's why it's against your tendency. Your tendency is to earn. Your tendency is to control. Your tendency is to be about you. Versus be about God. Your good is about you. It's not about God. The narrow way is completely different from the broad way. The next verse, it says, much more popular, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but through me. Through me. Not through good works. Not through good deeds. Not through looking good or other people saying that you're good enough to get into heaven. Or you're good enough to get relationship with God. Or God must like you. You're a pretty great person. No, it's through Christ. Him alone, trusting him alone as your Savior. That he obeyed God perfectly. Not you. That he died and took your punishment. You didn't out-earn. You didn't do more good than bad. And so you kind of like vaporized this bad with your good. No. He perfectly obeyed God. He died on the cross to take your punishment. And he rose from the dead. And if you would believe in him, you'd get life. You get relationship with God. The broad way, the easy way, it's the way of religion. And religion, Tim Keller says, goes like this. Religion is you work really hard on the way, and when you get to the gate, if you've been good enough, maybe you're let in. Follow me? If you work really hard on the way, maybe when you get to the gate, you'll be let in. Christianity is the exact opposite. Christ is the gate. He did everything for you. You begin in. You begin in relationship with God if you trust him. So stop trying to earn it as if it's religion. It's not religion. It's relationship with Christ. He gives you a relationship with God the Father at the beginning when you trust him. When you believe in him, if you would actually believe in him and not your works. Someone came up to me after the first service and they're like, I really like trusting in my works. And I'm like, I get it. The reason why you trust in your works is because you control it. You trust one person most of the time, if not all of the time, and that is you. You don't want to trust God. C.S. Lewis has a quote about this, the difference between this broad way. He says this broad way, he talks about our motives, why we do these things. And he says the reason why we do things is we have a lot of mixed motives. He says our best motives on the best day in the best circumstances are at best mixed. Our best motives on the best day in the best circumstances are at best mixed. If you guys have tracked through the Sermon on the Mount. And if you're new today, I really encourage you to look at chapter 5 and chapter 6 and beginning of chapter 7 that Aaron covered to lead to this. It doesn't talk about the externals. Both people are praying. Both people are giving to the poor. It talks about the internals. God's standard is not externals only, as we believe, as we like to believe. It's internals. It's not just externals. It's internals. What really matters is righteousness. What really matters, righteousness is relating rightly to God. So God and you relate rightly to him. You interact with him and respond to him the way he should be responded to. That's living for him, not using him to get for yourself, using him to live for yourself. That is not righteousness. That's human righteousness or self-righteousness, where you're relating rightly to yourself, which is completely false, actually. You're saying, okay, I'm doing all for myself so that I can gain. We sometimes believe in this ladder on the Broadway. And we say, okay, there's a rare liar, and the rare liar is closer to God and above the occasional liar, who's closer to God and above the like rampant liar, who's closer to God and above the thief, who's closer and above the adulterer, who's closer and above that the one who covets and envies viciously in their heart. There is no ladder. I want you to. Let me read you this from Romans. It says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God, relating rightly to God, has been manifested. That's past tense. It has been manifested. You're not earning it. You're not working for it. It's done. It's done through Christ. It says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. For all those who believe, now listen closely, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's one group. You're in it, I'm in it, and it's the group that cannot make it and does not make it through works, through motives. You tracking? One group. There is no separation. There is no like, I'm a little higher. I just need to like stop praying in front of people more and then I will be able to earn God. No, it is one group. It's a hopeless group. Save the narrow gate. Save Christ. His perfect life. His gracious sacrifice on the cross. His resurrection from the dead. You don't have hope in yourself. You don't have hope in the easy way. You don't have hope in your own control or religion. That doesn't get life. That gets destruction. You cannot make it. You'll be judged and you'll be found lacking. But through Christ, there's a great exchange that happens. When you trust in Christ as your Savior, what you do is you see him as the one who perfectly obeyed God. Not you. You can't do it. That quote that's supposed to comfort us by Lewis, C.S. Lewis. Best on my best day, best circumstance, my best motives are mixed. And you're like, oh gosh, that makes me feel better. At least you're bad and I'm bad. No, that should be convicting. That should be concerning for you. The fact that on your best day, in the best circumstance, your best motives are mixed. That means you have no shot. That's what that means. It doesn't mean, hey, I'm bad too. It's like, hey, you have no shot. You need a different gate. You need a different way to get to life. And these false prophets in verse 15, the ones in sheep's clothing but inwardly are ravenous, they're going to teach you to go the wide way. They're going to say, be good, be moral. Here's another thing you can add to your checklist in order to earn God. But they do that for themselves. They do that for the power. Do you see that? They do that for power and worship. Oh, the false teacher, they know the way. Versus the true teacher who says, okay, I'm in it with you. We're in it together. And if we don't trust in Christ, if you don't trust in Christ and I don't trust in Christ, neither of us gets life. This is just higher up so I can see you guys. It's not higher up for any other reason. But we kind of get that exaltational thing. And sometimes pastors struggle with approval. Again, there's no distinction. If you look at the fruits in verse 16 and verse 17, verse 16 is talking about taking a fruit and putting it on a thorn. When you put it on a thorn, if you see like a fruit, like an orange, at the top of a thorn, you're like, okay, that doesn't fit. That person's pretending to be good. That fruit looks good, but it's on the top of a thorn, so someone just stuck it on there. When people like do like the 2 second looking good, we try much harder than that, guys. We don't try the 2 second looking good in here. We try the much harder where we have fruit that looks like good fruit. We have lives and externals and behavior and actions that look like we know God. And those who know God love God out of relationship with Him. And they look the same as those who are using God for comfort and pleasure. They both do externals and they both look the same. But when you taste the fruit of the person on the Broadway of the false teacher, you find out that it's bad. It's not good. You find out that it's rotten. False prophets. You may be a false prophet. And you're like, oh, Sean, I'm not a prophet. I can't tell the future. I've never tried to. A prophet is somebody who represents God. And all of you, I would imagine, represent God. You've told someone that you know God. You told someone that you have a relationship with God. You told someone that you follow God. And you teach them, you may be teaching them the broad way. You may be teaching them, okay, this is how you follow God. You earn relationship with Him. And when you mess up, then you got to do extra to earn relationship and earn love with Him. False prophets are also false followers. So if you're not a false prophet, you might be a false follower. Look at verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's judgment day, and you're there. And it's interesting even how Jesus pictures it. You're there, and you're trying to get in, and you start talking to God. Like you say, Lord. That's not good enough. Look at verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? So these guys are prophesying, they're casting out demons, and they're performing miracles. That's a good list, right? I mean, anybody else have that list? That's a really good list. And he says that external stuff, it's not good enough. They say, didn't I earn it? Wasn't I good enough, God? Wasn't I good enough to get in? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. The narrow, small gate is trusting in Christ as your Savior, and immediately you're put into relationship with Him. Relationship with God. Let's go to the next point here on the slide. This kind of brings it home in terms of the difference of the broad way, the way of trying to earn God's love, trying to earn relationship with God. It says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. We look at the scriptures, and if you've gone through this Sermon on the Mount, and all you write down is a checklist, and you go home and you try to be better, you're not going to get life. Jesus is very clear here. He says, the scriptures testify about me. Not you, not your deeds, about Christ. That's what it's about. You get relationship with Him. And then out of that relationship, you actually start to love God. He quakes you. He makes you tremble. He transforms you such that your motives are better. Such that your actions are genuinely for Him versus using Him to get something for yourself. But again, it's not, okay, you get a second chance with Christ. Christ is everything. You get a relationship with God forever, good standing forever through Christ. It's finished. It's done. Done. Gavel down. Case over. You get God forever. A relationship with Him. If we can go to the next slide. So, life, the desire of all, but the experience of few. Life is defined in John 17:3. That might be one to write down and go home and check out. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let me do that again. Now, this is eternal life. So he's going to define eternal life. Eternal life we think is living forever. Okay, hold on. Wait, listen. God is telling you about eternal life. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And that word know is not know about, like I know I'm over 6 foot tall, or you and I know that we're always right, or I know Justin Bieber, he's a popular singer. That's for you guys. It's middle school students up front. It's not about knowing, like knowing about somebody. It is knowing, guys, catch this. Jesus wants to make sure that you understand the depth of relationship he offers you. It is marital intimacy. That is the word for know. Marital intimacy. That's the best thing God can find to communicate the amazing depth of the relationship that he offers to you through Christ. If you trust him, if you'll say, okay, it's going to be Christ plus nothing. Not Christ plus good works. Not Christ plus looking good. Not Christ but yada, you know, giving $1,000, going to on a mission trip and building a house. Not Christ plus anything. Not Kids Quest, Win-Win. I mentioned these. Not Christ plus anything, just Christ. That is the way to life. And in that relationship, you love him. In that relationship, you're different. Let me end with this. I'm running over time here. I like 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15 because it communicates this reality of what the narrow way is like. When you get a relationship with God, you start to love him. You live for him. Not to get relationship, but out of relationship with him that you got through Christ, the small narrow gate, through Christ, faith in Christ as your Savior. Not you as your Savior, Christ. Then you live for him. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. You've experienced God's love so much. It controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. You don't have to live for yourself. You don't have to earn relationship with God. It was earned for you. Christ did it. Okay, if you could have done it, the scripture says Christ did not need to come. God is not going to leave glory and comfort and worship to come down here, be begotten, be God and man, be spit on, be mocked, be scourged and whipped, be crucified on a cross. Just to give you a little bump in you doing good, it's because you have no chance. You're hopeless. You have no chance apart from him. I want you guys, I encourage you guys to get life by tasting and seeing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want us, if you guys would bow your heads, I want you to reflect on a minute, for a minute, on what we've talked about. So everybody bow their heads, please. Kind of take a moment. I want you to think about this one choice. Think about this one choice. Have you chosen the wide gate, the accessible and attractive gate that leads to that broad way of you trying to earn God, of you using God for yourself? Or have you really trusted in Christ alone? Christ alone, Christ plus nothing, to experience and be put in a relationship with God? If you haven't, I want you to take a moment and I want you to consider that. I'd invite you to do it now. You can do it when you go home. You can do it now. And I want you to think about, are you getting life? Are you getting life? Is you using God and adding a bunch of other things getting you life? Are you willing to trust God to actually get life through Christ, through trusting him? Father, I ask that you would allow us to not go down the wide broad way through the wide gate, which leads to destruction apart from you. But I pray that we would go through Christ, that we would trust in him alone to get life, and that life being intimate, personal, marital kind of intimacy with you and the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would do that, that we would trust in that, that we'd find ourselves through the gate, the narrow gate of Christ, and loving you. And I pray that we would experience the life that we've always wanted, that we've sought for ever since we've been born. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.